WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I've got a little pep in my step. I'm back from across the pond and getting back out to some Maryland Crab Cake Tours, as well as picking up the pace on what was a pretty memorable sports week here in Baltimore. And I don't mean Paul McCartney showing up at Camden Yards either, between the Orioles and infighting with the Angelos boys and faxes from Mama and first home runs for Rutschman. And then, of course, there was the World Cup story, which came to quite a thud right around 5:45 on Thursday night. And then there's mandatory minicamp. That's where everybody shows up. There's no in optional or organized. Luke Jones joins us now. We're going to be getting together and doing some Maryland Crab Cake Tours out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and with our newest sponsors at Window Nation, where you buy two, you get two free. Luke, the Lamar Jackson thing, you know, not everything was serendipity on my trip to Europe between, you know, illnesses and knees and this and that and the poor Angelos family, all these things going wrong. But the one thing that did go right is Lamar waited until the end to have a press conference. He waited for me to get home. So I want to thank Lamar Jackson for being there and allowing me to ask two questions. Luke, the media went after him. It reminded me of what bad questions sound like, because I asked two questions. Most of the quotes came from questions I asked, because I asked pretty succinct, lawyerly kind of questions, because he was so coached up. He was surrounded by Harbaugh, surrounded by Chad Steele, who always gives the best advice. And we were prepared to not get much out of it. And it was dishonest. I mean, I'll just start with that and saying that it wasn't about the contract. But he loves football. I mean, it was chasing a tail, which we expected. And I'm not going to sit here and break down every word of what he said as to what might be true, what is true. There is a negotiation going on, and the word negotiation never got brought up, right? It was a conversation, right?
You just stole my thunder. I was going to say we're having a conversation as you're back from abroad. But look, was I expecting a whole lot out of this? No. Did we get a whole lot out of this? Certainly not. I think the best news, if you're looking at it from a Ravens fan perspective, looking for good news, is not just the fact that Lamar Jackson showed up for mandatory minicamp, which was my expectation, because you know, that is the mandatory part, unlike the voluntary OTAs that we talked about the last few weeks. But he did engage in conversation. And when you're talking about a franchise whose general manager, whose owner, whose head coach, whose team president, have all acknowledged a reluctance for Lamar to engage in contract talks throughout this offseason. And a large part of that being he was in the building this week, as opposed to not being in the building since the end of last season. You know, it's good news that they had a conversation about it. Now, Lamar did not go into any detail about that, which isn't surprising, but did not go as far to say that they made progress or that it was very positive or anything like that. Just said, we had a conversation. And you know, you mentioned a couple of the other tidbits, you know, a lot of it based on what you said. I mean, you know, he said the Deshaun Watson deal hasn't impacted his feelings on it. No player is going to acknowledge a specific deal having an impact, you know, and even agents publicly won't say that because they always want to say that their client is unique and original and not going to go off of other trends. But we know they all talk about other deals, and that's how they negotiate. The Ravens are looking at other deals as well to negotiate and make their offers to various players. So you had that. You asked, as you mentioned, if Lamar expects to finish his career in Baltimore. He said he does. I don't know what a player is going to say other than that at this stage of a negotiation, unless it's a guy who is completely disenchanted to the point where he knows he's going to leave and has made it known that he wants to leave. A guy is going to say that. Beyond that, it was a lot of what I said, him mentioning it's a conversation, we're having conversations. I think the quote that got the most traction was him saying, I don't know, as far as him being asked point blank if he was going to be at training camp, if he was going to play week one, if he was under his current deal. I tend to lean on that one, that I thought that was a product of him kind of giving a road answer over and over and over. It's a conversation. I know some people will run with the I don't know part of it. At the same time, he was asked very directly. Sean Stepner of WMAR asked the question directly about training camp in week one, and Lamar did not give a direct yes or no. So you know, from that standpoint, there is a little bit of doubt that's left. So, you know,
we started the whole thing dishonestly, saying that not being here the last 2 weeks had nothing to do with the contract. And I don't believe that, you know, that's not honest. And so,
well, that's your opinion. I mean, there could be lots of reasons why. I mean, he could be unhappy with the coaching staff there. I mean, I hear what you're saying. And
I mean, if you're
unhappy, we don't know that for sure.
Traded off the team, your buddy ask off the team, right?
Right. Well, and I'll say this much. That was the answer that bothered me more than anything. When he says he didn't really remember Marquise Brown expressing dissatisfaction. I mean, come on, man. Marquise Brown has even said in interviews since the trade, the morning after, he went on a podcast and talked about the fact that this was something that had been on his mind the last couple of years. And we know he and Lamar are close. They certainly had conversations about it. And that's not to say Lamar agrees
no,
with
they
him,
don't have conversations
because
all they do is turn their music up and party when they drive home. I mean, I'm sitting in front of a grown man and asking these questions. I've been doing this a long time. The interpretation and the sophistication of the level of answers after being coached up, it is what it is. But to try to, you and I, to interpret any of this as moving the ball forward toward a contract or toward a championship, which is really all we're here to talk about, right? We're here to talk about them winning a Super Bowl. And I don't know how missing practice, how you ever align that. And by the way, I thought the Urban press conference was more telling than the Lamar press conference, because it's pretty clear James Urban hadn't spoken to Lamar Jackson in 5 months, 4 months, right? Like that was pretty obvious, right?
It seemed that way. I mean, certainly, he made mention of, in an ideal world, his preference would be Lamar would have been there because, hey, he's the quarterback's coach at the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar's the starting quarterback. But, you know, the most telling answer was, he was asked, was there any contact during OTAs when Lamar wasn't there? Had you been in contact with him at all? And his answer was, we're in regular communication. Yes. When you get something like that, that tends to lead you to believe if there was conversation, it was very, very brief, very, very probably one-sided. So, in the big picture, him skipping OTAs is not something that I had incredible concern over. I said I thought it was a symptom of this not being as hunky-dory and the sides not being on the same page as much as even the Ravens wanted to make it out to seem to be earlier in the offseason. But you know, he showed up. He was there. He looked rock solid throwing the football. Wasn't the best he's practiced, but certainly was far from the worst he's practiced. You know, I think anything else you heard was probably more of people being victims of recency bias, you know, trying to talk, oh, he has more zip on the ball, yada, yada, yada. I don't really buy too much of that. But he looked good. You know,
he looks bigger. That's for sure. He's bigger.
Right. And I think the big question for me for that is going to be, how does that impact his speed? Not that I'm saying he's going to become slow, but when you're talking about someone who has this once in a generation kind of athleticism at the quarterback position, when you're 12 to 15 pounds heavier, even if it is all muscle mass, how does that impact your speed? I think that's a fair question. In the same way, Jamal Lewis being heavier, you know, at certain points in his career, you wondered how that impacted his speed. So,
or Ray Lewis being lighter and tackling,
sure,
right?
I mean, sure.
We've seen enough great players around here change their physique a little bit. Brady Anderson, not to transition to the Angelos lawsuit, because I wouldn't want to do that. But, you know, I mean, we've seen body types change, and Nick Boyle's bodies change. I mean, Terrell Suggs, Michael Pierce. We could talk about guys being in shape or out of shape and what shape is. No one would look at Lamar and say he's not in shape. Now, you would look at him and say he's a little bigger, like he looks more like a running back than like maybe a stick figure. But I don't even know that his body type's ever going to look like, oh, that's the quarterback. I don't think that that's who he is.
Well, I mean, is he the traditional Joe Flacco kind of pocket passer build? No, of course not. And that's not the kind of player he is. So it'll be interesting. And again, him putting on that weight, I'm not at all suggesting that it's bad. I don't know. We didn't get enough of an opportunity to really see him run in training camp and probably, or in mini camp, and probably won't get to see a great gauge of that even in mini camp, because he's not running for his life in training camp because it's not full contact on the quarterback. You know, they of course have the special non-contact jerseys. So, you know, it's just an observation, and we'll see how that part of it plays out. But again, in terms of how he looked There was nothing about his performance at minicamp this week that suggested he hasn't worked hard in the offseason. Now, him not being in the building, you and I've talked about it for 3 weeks now. You know, the people have various opinions on it, and that's not going to change. I've pointed out
way,
over.
If you anybody who's around football, if I had the 50 people, I respect the most about football, anyone that if they were in the room, it would be 50 for 50 that his ass should have been at camp 3 weeks ago. So just period. I mean, that's my expertise in doing this for 30 years. There's nobody that thinks it's a good idea that a 25-year-old quarterback with a completely changing cast of players around him and a lot of uncertainty everywhere, including his own future, shouldn't be there putting his best foot forward, not having a check mark in some way against his full-on all-in. And that comes straight out of Owings Mills. That's not Nestor talking. That's from inside the building. And that's not those 50 people. That's 50 people in any organization anywhere that if it's your organization, you're trying to win a Super Bowl, your star wants to double his salary and get market money, and you're willing to sit down and even talk to him about that. All of that is predicated on you're giving me 100%, right? You're giving me 100%, right? You're all in. And 2 weeks ago, Lamar did something that I think the people in Owings Mills didn't like it. And I know they didn't like it. And I don't know what that means, but I know there's never been a moment they haven't loved Lamar. And even getting rid of Hollywood Brown, I'm sure when they saw the WTF on draft night and stuff like that, you know, this is delicate. I mean, but the Ravens have been up and down this mountain 1,000 times. Eric DaCosta has been seeing all these negotiations going back to when John Ogden might have left, going back to when Ray Lewis did his holdout turn, going back to we're going to get rid of Trent Dilfer for Elvis Gerback. I mean, you know, Eric's been here for all of that. So this is just the latest drama. This is the only drama for Lamar. This is his one and only. This is his one chance. And he doesn't even speak about who he respects and who he speaks to and about in regard to this. It's just, it's bizarre, dude. I've been watching this a long time. It's really peculiar. And more than that, it's not grown up. I don't know what to say. It's not 21st century in the way that these things are done, because that kid should have $100 million sitting in the bank. He should have a contract. He should be going to work. And if he had a real agent, if he had Jerry Maguire around him, they wouldn't be saying to him, play the field to make another million or three or four or five here. You almost had your leg snapped off last year. Put $80 million in the bank, dude. Get in line, get the best deal you can get, and buckle your chin strap and go play for the Ravens. Unless you really think you're a Miami Dolphin, or you think you're going to be Tom Brady's replacement in Tampa, or you think you don't like the weather, or you don't like Eric DaCosta, or you don't like John Harbaugh, or you don't like Steve. If that's where you are, then hold out of camp. But these are the people that are going to give you $250 million. Don't have 1 minute where you think they're not all in on you, because there's another draft next year. They'll go get another football player, because that's the way they think. Dennis and I talk about that all. That's the way they're thinking over there, is like, man, we, you know, this isn't the Lamar we drafted 3 years ago, not showing up at OTAs. And I think it rubbed people wrong.
Well, you can think that until you draft Kyle Bowler and you set your franchise back 5 years. So I hear everything you're saying. I'm not saying I disagree with all that. At the same time, there's still the caveat of, are the Ravens going to offer him $240 guaranteed million, which is, I don't know that for certain. That's what Lamar is looking at. And I know he dismissed the Deshaun Watson thing. But as I said, whether agent or not, any young franchise quarterback who's on his rookie deal right now looks at the Deshaun Watson contract and says the toothpaste is out of the tube. And even if you think the Cleveland Browns and the Haslam family are dumb, and I agree, I think they're dumb, that doesn't mean there isn't another dumb owner and another dumb team out there that will invest the same contract in someone with far less problems off the field and far less baggage. So from that standpoint, if I'm Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, that's where the game has changed a bit. Now, I will say this, if you're looking at Lamar from the standpoint of right now, as opposed to a year ago, has he been well served by waiting? If we're going to talk about executing a contract, absolutely. Because a year ago, it was Dak Prescott getting 40 per. It was Josh Allen last August getting 43 per. he's at least, you know, those contracts are less relevant now because quarterbacks are making more than that now. And you have Aaron Rodgers and you have Matthew Stafford and the Watson fully guaranteed deal. So if there is an end game in mind here, he has done well to that point. But at some point, you still need to make your move, right? And that's where I look at this thing and say, if this isn't about, you know, I mean, certainly it's not about just giving a hometown discount or, you know, that Steve Bisciotti's theory that Lamar, you know, was so obsessed with winning a Super Bowl, and which I never bought that, and Lamar dismissed that. You know, Lamar's
there's
plenty
so
worthy.
Much bullshitting going on all the way around that, like, to your point, I don't buy that. Well, I haven't sat here for 27 years on the radio much and said the Ravens are just feeding me BS. You know, like, I don't. This is complex for all of them, and I don't. I think it's very frustrating
sure.
that he doesn't have anything normal about the way the business part of this will be conducted.
Yeah, well, and time will tell. He may end up playing it perfectly in the end, even if it the means are very strange along the way.
Unorthodox,
because he is. But that's where I go back to the last thing you said, and I said, well, that sounds great, saying you're going to take another quarterback until it's someone who can't play, and then you're stuck and you're screwed. I mean, that's just how it works.
You're also not stuck in a $250 million quarterback a deal with a quarterback that you may or may not be able to win with. And when you
that's where you're wrong.
$50 million number on him, it changes the rest of your roster. It's all I'm saying.
Okay, but you just said that
he's not a great player. I'm saying the minute he gets $50 million, what's his supporting cast look like?
Okay, but that's true of any quarterback. That to me just sounds like an argument that you don't want to pay, because you just said whether they can win or not. They've won a lot of football games with Lamar Jackson, period. Now, we can talk about the playoffs, but
rookie contract.
Okay, but they only won with Joe Flacco on his rookie contract. Let's call
I wouldn't even bring this up if you and I didn't spend 3.5 years from the minute Flacco went to McDonald's and had a quarter pounder. From that minute forward, the next 3.5 years, the Ravens couldn't win because they didn't have enough money to get a wide receiver, a replacement for Anquan
Boldin,
whatever, right? That was.
They spent a lot of money on their defense over that time. Let's not use complete revisionist history. It becomes more difficult, but you still make decisions, and they made some bad decisions over that period of time. I'm not going to revise history here and just say that it was all because of Joe's contract, because you and I called Boulder Dash on that how many different times? Because, you know, yeah, it becomes more challenging, but you still have to make good decisions. So, you know, not to veer too far off the track here.
But the world changes when they sign him, though. You know
no
what
question.
I mean? And if he
no
was
question.
Already under contract for 40, 42, 40, whatever the number was, it would affect what else they could do to fix Ronnie Stanley or to fix their safety position or, you know, spending the money they spent there. So it really, if he's under a big number already, it would already change things. So the minute that happens, it's going to change things. And they're kind of waiting for that, right? Like they expect him to be a $50 million cap number in 2025. They're thinking like that, but they have to get him done.
Sure. And that's where you look at this thing and say, from his perspective, if you want to be a Raven, if that's still your top goal, and that's not to say you're clearly not taking a hometown discount, anything like that. But if you want fair market and you want to be a Raven, that's where you look at 2022. It's one thing to look at last year. You know, he was in the fourth year of the regular first round rookie contract. Now he's in the fifth year option.
And it wouldn't have mattered because he got hurt anyway. And if he paid him $50 million, he still would have been hurt, right?
Well, right. But I'm saying, you know, you could understand waiting now. I mean, but now you're at a point where, okay, yes, he is getting real money now. That's better than it was before. But $23 million is still very much underpaid for what Lamar Jackson's worth on the open market. So if I'm him, that's where I look at this thing and say, why am I being so reluctant at this point to go to the negotiating table because of what happened last year? Because you don't want to be in a position where you're hurt going into free agency. And okay, you know, the Ravens are going to tag him if he doesn't sign by next March. That's obvious at this point. You know, we can talk about what happens from there in terms of holdouts or trades or anything, any other scenario you can possibly envision. But that's what I keep coming back to at this point with him is, you know, you're going to get big money, whether it's from the Ravens or whether it's trying to wait this thing out as long as you can. hypothetically through two franchise tag years, hypothetically until the Ravens throw up their hands and trade him to someone else, and then that team gives him. But I look at this year for him and say, I'm worth way more than $23 million a year. So why would I play on $23 million this year, which is fine. That's how I'd feel about this. And that's where him not engaging with the Ravens in contract talks is so mystifying, because you can't get the best possible offer if you're not engaging in talks with the team. Again, hypothetically, what happened a year ago? We've talked about this. Did the Ravens present an offer that insulted him in some way? And he just said at that point, I'm just going to wait this out and I'll play on the franchise tag and I'll play on the fifth year option and I'll see what happens over the next couple of years. Is it a case where until the Ravens just flat out give him Deshaun Watson's deal plus a little bit more, he's just not going to bother? I don't know. Based on everything we asked him on Thursday, we didn't get a whole lot of clarity in that way. And that's fine. Most players don't talk that much about their contracts, or most players will defer to their agent.
Well, you'd like to think that at least when you're talking to the kid, he has some clarity in his own mind as to what he wants to do. And it feels very foggy to me. It feels very double talky to me. Are you going to be in training camp? Don't know. Are you going to be Raven for life? I expect to be. Well, what? Yeah. What? I mean, come on. When you start to put it together as a sentient being, if I had to write a column for the Baltimore Banner on this and say, what was said, interpret what was said is pretzel logic, as Steely Dan once sang.
I was just going to say the word you just said was the basis of what I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com. Beyond saying they had a conversation, everything else still open for interpretation as far as what it actually meant. So I'll say this. It had a less combative tone. Lamar did not come across as, that there was acrimony here or that he was overly combative or anything like that. He said most of what he said with a smile on his face. But in that way, what you just mentioned, little Ed Reed-like, wasn't it? At times where Ed would be talking about maybe retiring, but then at the same time saying he wants a brand new contract, how Ed would talk out of both sides of his mouth. And turned out okay for Ed in the long run, and he's beloved, and he's a Hall of Famer and one of the all-time best players to ever lace up pair of cleats here in Baltimore. So, but it's certainly unique. And again, it's the word that I've used over and over and over is it's weird. It's unconventional. There's no question about that. Just the sheer fact that he doesn't have an agent and so much of what he was asked on Thursday would typically be, my agent's handling that. That's the stock answer that you normally get from players. And that's why they pay an agent 3% of whatever they're going to make. So in this case, he doesn't have that. And look, it could work out for him beautifully. And we might be talking about Lamar Jackson at some point in the next year, two, 3 years, being the highest paid player in the NFL. And if that's the case, then all this weirdness still worked out for him. But at the same time, I keep coming back to your worth. That's why I always thought the needing to win a Super Bowl narrative was bunk, because this guy's a former MVP, a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback already. He doesn't have anything to prove to validate a market setting, top of the market, elite quarterback contract. I mean, this isn't Joe Flacco, who was above average at his best in the regular season, but never special in the regular season. Lamar Jackson's been special in the regular season, at least at points of his career, certainly in 2019, and certainly a special player in terms of his skill set. So, this idea that, winning a Super Bowl had to come first or anything like that, I never bought that. And I'm guessing deep down, Steve Bisciotti really didn't buy that. I think that was probably a way to try to portray Lamar in a more positive way. But as I've said throughout the offseason, when everyone is kind of left to speak for him, you're going to have a lot of people make assumptions. Some of those assumptions are right. Some of the assumptions, I think, have been dead wrong. But based on what we heard from Lamar himself on Thursday, still a lot of unknown to this situation and still a lot open to interpretation. My gut, as far as the whole I don't know thing, I would say this. He showed up for mandatory minicamp. They already have it planned for him to get together with his receivers and tight ends down in Florida before training camp. Those elements to me sound like someone who plans on being there for training camp. So again, how much of that was him not being the most savvy from a media standpoint, you know, a guy that's going to fill up a notebook and be overly quotable. How much of that was, you know, product of him just giving a rote answer, you know, to all these contract questions and, you know, kind of just getting caught up in that. I tend to lean that way. But again, he was asked to follow up to, in a very direct way, to say, are you going to be there for training camp? Are you going to play week one without a deal? And he didn't say yes or no. So when that happens, you're left to wonder. And that's where we're speaking. And I think the biggest thing, you know, forgetting about all these answers to
the
all
Ravens
these
Ravens shouldn't have to go to bed all summer long wondering whether their quarterback's going to show
but
up.
But that, well, that I was just
quarterback who won't sit down and even have a, you know, like, it's bizarre. It's
well,
really
but that's what I was just getting to. The rest of what we're talking about doesn't matter. You and I talking about this doesn't matter. You know, you and I aren't influencing one way or the other whether the Ravens are going to give him a deal or whether he's going to sign with the Ravens. You know, we're irrelevant to this process. We're just trying to, you know, glean what we can from the situation. What's relevant, what's important, what's going to be significant is if whatever conversation they had this week leads to further conversation over the next 6 weeks, over the next 3 months until the season starts, over the next, oh, what we're talking now, 9 months until what, free agency. So that's what is relevant as far as what came out of this week, knowing that they had some conversation, which isn't earth shattering. I mean, he was in the building. You know, if you can't, if Lamar's not even going to sit down with you when he's in the building, then you have bigger problems than we're even anticipating. So they had the conversation. How fruitful was it in terms of leading to further conversation, further dialogue, further negotiation, and getting a deal done? Because again, can you use the franchise tag? Yes. Would the Ravens have used the franchise tag on Joe Flacco had they not struck a deal in what, February? Or I guess it was late February 2013, a few weeks after the Super Bowl. Yeah, they would have used the tag at that point, but you'd rather not have to go that route. But if Lamar Jackson has dug in his heels and is content to go that route, then the Ravens will continue to do that. And it's not all that terribly cost prohibitive for them in the short-term sense to play out this year at $23 million, which is less than he would make if he were on a long-term deal. And even next year, whatever the franchise tag will be, which will, you know, be somewhere north of $30 million, which, you know, isn't going to be insane relative to what guys are making, you know, the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, you play it out, continue to evaluate, see where you are as a football team, see where your coaching staff is, see where your quarterback is, see where your wide receivers are, and they'll go about it that way. As much as you'd love to be able to plan from a long-term perspective with your cap and from your roster building, you know, from that standpoint, at the same time, it's not as though Lamar has a $70 million cap number that you have to adjust here or anything like that. It's okay. You know, if you don't want to engage right now, then we'll play it out another year and we'll go that route. But again, in an ideal world, he's locked up already. You know, this is clearly more complicated than the most optimistic Ravens fans wanted to be a year ago, but here we are. And at the same time, all of what we just said, I wouldn't at all be surprised if this has worked out and he's a Raven for a long time. And I still think that's going to be what happens, but the longer this goes on, the more doubt, the more uncertainty, the more weirdness creeps in, and you don't really know what to make of it.
He's Luke Jones. You can find him at Baltimore Luke and Luke at WNST.net. You can find me anywhere crab cakes are. A lot of crab cakes this week. Going to be at Slancha on Friday afternoon from 2 until 5, licking our wounds with the Baltimore Sports Commission folks and Terry Hazeltine, and as well as Kimmy Yoshino and MTS Patel from the Baltimore Banner are going to be joining us. Monday, we're with Mayor Brandon Scott at Next Phase Cafe, talking some Juneteenth, talking the city, talking crime, talking politics, talking the harbor, all of those things. That's at Next Phase Cafe on Monday, midday, and then on Wednesday back at Fadley's downtown at Lexington Market. So a lot of guests, a little bit of politics, a lot of sports as the Ravens shut it down, and certainly going to be talking at length about not getting a World Cup bid and what the future of the Baltimore Orioles, as well as Lamar Jackson. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.